When it seems like our lives are just an interconnected string of mess-ups, Pastor Ray Bentley says there's good news.
There is always more grace for the next step of your spiritual walk or journey. Even when we blow it, even when we sin, even when we fail, there is still a stream of love, grace, and tenderness, forgiveness, and mercy, and affection toward us.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Church isn't a place where perfect people come together to celebrate their wholesomeness. Now it's where broken, fallible people come for comfort, restoration, and healing. Today, Pastor Ray shows us what rich encouragement it brings to know God gives more grace. Let's listen.
We're going to look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. James writes, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace. And therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Here, James is declaring that most of the problems of man come from simple greed and selfishness. And when you think about it, this has been the root problem of mankind from the beginning. In every generation, in every society, in every kind of culture, even in every form, politically or economically, eventually greed finds its way in and ruins everything. It ruins the greatest and the best of empires and men. I put a few scriptures here. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus is telling a parable, but let's read this scripture, Luke 8, 14, out loud together. "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." In other words, Jesus says that there's some, you know, the seed falls and there's some that just, you know, they get very emotional in the beginning spiritually. Oh, they're responding and their hearts are touched. Good thing. But then they let it lay fallow. They never grow. The roots never take, and they don't ever develop any fruit. And others let the cares and the pleasures of the world choke out the spiritual life that is within them. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let's read this scripture out loud. "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared," and he goes on to explain. He's saying the same thing. He goes, when we were in the world, we were all selfish, living for ourselves. Now that we've come into the body of Christ, and we admit we're not perfect yet, we have a long way, and we'll never arrive at perfection here. But we have to admit that when there is fighting and struggle for control, that is a manifestation of a selfish or a prideful heart, and that we need to humble ourselves before God. As he will later say, God resists the proud. And he's talking about believers who have pride. not unbelievers. This is all about the body of Christ. Let me read to you James 4, verses 1 and 2 out of the New Living Translation, just to get a little different flavor on it. He says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it, so you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it." You could go to the Lord and ask Him. But He goes, it's manifesting this selfishness and this pride and this desire to be in control. He's saying, if you are friends with the world, and apparently there was worldliness within the hearts of those who were fighting within the church. And James goes, don't you realize you can't be right with God and also be popular, as it were, in the world. You cannot walk a life filled with heaven and then be walking compromised with the pleasures of the flesh and of this world. He goes, in fact, if you do, God is at war with you, or God is your enemy. And he's again talking about as a believer. God will stand in front of you. He will block your path, not because he doesn't love you, but quite to the contrary, because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to be destroyed, or he doesn't want you to be wiped out. And what God is saying is, hey, wake up. Come back to the living God and to the true source of life. And then James adds, so there's things that you want and you desire. Fine. Ask your Father in heaven. You have not because you ask not. Why don't you pray and go to Him and bring your needs to the Lord? If we would just ask the Lord about them, He will bless us. And listen, if it's right, God will give it to you. If it's not right, God will not give it to you, because He doesn't want to hurt you. There are many things that I have prayed for passionately, persistently, and that God did not answer my prayer, and thank the Lord He did not, because my prayer was wrong, or it was amiss. I was asking for something selfishly for myself, and it wasn't good for me. Well, now, from a perspective many years later, I look back and go, wow, thank you, God, that you didn't answer those prayers. Now, look with me in verse 3. He says, "Now you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So the question I ask is, our pleasures or God's pleasures? There's only one that lasts. Do you think that James is saying that Christians are not to desire pleasure? Answer, no. I believe that God's will is to bring more pleasure into our lives than you could ever dream, imagine, hope, or conceive of. God delights in His children having pleasure, and He desires for us to experience pleasure, spirit, soul, and body. And the truth of the matter is, God is the author of all true pleasure. He has the original. He has the source. There is a book that was written by C.S. Lewis a number of years ago called Screwtape Letters. How many of you have heard of that book? If you don't know what that is, C.S. Lewis is a very brilliant guy, and I love his mind and the way he communicates. He's extremely smart, but yet he can communicate in a way that I can understand. You know how there's some smart people, they talk to you and you know they're like up here, but you have no idea what they're talking about. Then there's another kind of smart guy that you know is way smarter than you, but he brings it down so you know what he's actually saying. That's C.S. Lewis. And he wrote this book called Screwtape Letters, and it's the premise is of a demon, a fallen angel demon, who's got his little protege demon buddy. And I think, I have a weird sense of humor. It was to me, a comedy. I was laughing through the whole book. But anyway, so this older demon is training the young demon how you go and try to trick Christians and tempt them and all the rest. And in one of his comments, he makes a very revealing comment. C.S. Lewis nails it. Here's what the older guy is saying to the younger protege. He says, now, never forget that when we are dealing with any pleasure in its healthy and normal and satisfying form, we are, in a sense, on the enemy's ground. He's talking about God. I know we have won many a soul through pleasure, but all the same, it is his invention, not ours. He made the pleasures. All our research so far has not enabled us to produce even one original pleasure. All we can do is to encourage the humans to take the pleasures which our enemy has produced at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. Hence, we always try to work away from the natural condition of any pleasure to that in which it is least natural. An ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure is the formula. And that's, you know, he nails it. Satan and all the demons of hell have never created one original pleasure. All they can do, and essentially what all sin is merely the twisting of the original divine pleasure that was given and created by God and does not diminish but actually grows and increases on into eternity. So in essence, what God is saying through James and his word is, why do you keep going for the twistings and the perversions that don't last and that diminish? Go to the source, go to the original pleasure that God our Father in heaven has himself created.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We love hearing how these daily studies touch lives.
Dear Pastor Ray, God bless you for your radio ministry. I marvel at how God always knows my needs even before I do. Your recent message hit home with me when you shared the story of a young woman struggling with depression. My son also struggles with depression, and our family has prayed for him for 9 years. Thank God his sister, who recently became a Christian, has shared her faith with him, and now he has turned himself into a drug rehab center. Thank you again for extending hope and promise to all who listen to your radio program.
How have you found hope and encouragement through Pastor Ray's daily studies? Would you drop Pastor Ray an email and let him know? Write him today at ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
What does the Bible say about pleasure? I just put some of my favorite scriptures here. I love Psalm 37, verse 4. Let's read this scripture out loud. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Is that a great scripture? Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the very desires of your heart. Psalm 34, verse 8. Let's read this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That word blessed means, oh, how happy. Oh, taste and see, that's an experience, that the Lord is good. Oh, how happy is the man who trusts in him. Psalm 16:11, let's read that. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So to immerse ourselves in God will open the windows of eternal heaven and heavenly pleasure into your soul right here on earth, let alone the glory and joy that we shall enjoy in the future. There's this scripture I put in here from the ancient prophet Jeremiah, who was talking to the people of Israel, who after many, many decades had rebelled against God. Jeremiah lived in a time where it would be very grievous to be Jewish and in the land of Israel, even in the holy city of Jerusalem, and find the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bowing down to idols of stone and wood. And they thought, because, oh, the gods of the Canaanites have all this immorality and pleasures, and so if we worship them, then we get to do all of these things. But you know what? Here's what happened. It started off with the pleasures, but the more selfish those pleasures became, the more violent the society became in order to get those pleasures. And the more violent, the more the family broke down. And the more the family broke down, the government broke down. And finally, the government wasn't even able to protect its citizens. And then came the Babylonians. And they began to lose ultimately everything. Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people, this is God speaking, prophetically through Jeremiah, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Water, if it is a type of that life-giving pleasure from God, spiritual life, God is saying, I'm the fountain of life. I am the fountain of the rivers of living water and love and joy and peace. They rejected me. Instead, they carved out cisterns. Now, a cistern is a big, giant cavern dug out of a rock where they would, in those dry, arid places, trap the rainwater and fill up the cistern so they could make it through the arid and desert and summer months. But if you would have a crack in the cistern, you spent who knows how many hours and months carving this big cistern. If it had a crack in it, all the water goes out the first time it rains, and you realize all that work was for nothing. God said, that's what it's like to turn your back on me, the fountain of living waters, and jump into the world for their twisted and temporary and diminishing return pleasures rather than the source of all true pleasure, which is me. They've rejected me, and that's sad. So James is now again talking to believers, come back to the Lord. Come back to the source. The one who saved you radically and that you still trust in can also radically sanctify you. He can satisfy you. The chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Now let's close with verses 4-6. He says, adulterers and adulteresses. Now, he's speaking here metaphorically. He's not talking about sexual sin, although in other places in the Bible, it does address those sins. Here, he's talking about when you begin to love something or anything other than the Lord, it's a form of spiritual adultery to God in your heart. And this is what the Old Testament prophets were constantly accusing Israel of adultery when they began to worship other gods. So James is talking again to believers. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? The Holy Spirit within you yearns jealously. Let me tell you something about our Father and the Holy Spirit that is within us. The love that he has is, the Bible uses words like it is fervent, it is zealous. It is jealous. Yes, God's love jealous. You know what that means? God says he gets jealous of any other false lover, any other idol. He'll be your enemy for your own good. And again, he's talking as your son and daughter, as a believer. He'll stand between you and that false idol to make your life miserable, not because he doesn't love you, but because he does. And he knows that that idol will rip your heart out and destroy you. And therefore, he will fight with it, and he will also resist you because he loves you. How awesome it is to know that this holy God who transcends the universe is personally, passionately, jealously longing for my affection. And he will never rest until he has all of it, till he has every ounce of love that I have to offer him, because that's the way that he loves you and the way that he loves me. I love verse 6, and we'll close with this. But he gives more grace. And therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's where James is headed. He says, so humble yourselves. This is not saving grace. We've already had that. No, this is more grace to one who is already a believer. There is always more grace for the next step of your spiritual walk or journey. No matter where you are this morning, there's more grace for you. You have not exhausted the grace of God. Even when we blow it, even when we sin, even when we fail, there is still a stream of love and grace and tenderness and forgiveness and mercy and affection toward us. No wonder Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." As that beautiful song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me all the way home." Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for the grace of God that never ceases, never stops, never ends. And Father, I just pray for any today that are at the end of their rope, they're at the end of their wits, they're at the end of their patience, they're at the end of themselves, tired and weary and broken and frustrated. Lord, may we be humble enough to hear the whisper of the Spirit saying, "Come to me. Let me wrap my arms around you and love you and give you more grace." Lord, may we feel that gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit upon our face. May we be sweetly renewed and refreshed and revived. May we once again, Lord, turn our face to the Lord. May we trust in you. May we receive more grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great encouragement today from Pastor Ray Bentley and our study through the book of James here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's "He Gives More Grace." And we can send it to you for your gift of any amount. Again, the message title is "He Gives More Grace." And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in James on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, this is a significant year in the Middle East. Israel is celebrating its 70th year as the homeland of the Jewish people. And you have a booklet that describes its significance, not only for the Jews, but for Christians as well.
Yes, David. I'm calling it a window in time. We are coming to a kind of a line that God drew through the prophets. It's talked about, obviously, in the book of Daniel, 77s are determined upon thy people. There's something very significant about the number 70 in the Bible. So we are the first generation in 2,000 years that there has been such a thing as the nation of Israel. For nearly 2,000 years, there was no, you know, state of Israel. It was destroyed in 70 AD, obviously, as the Romans came in, destroyed the temple. So we know that we're living in some very significant prophetic times. Israel became a nation in May of 1948. So as we have just moved into this year of 2018, we've moved into a year that crosses into a tremendously significant prophetic sign, the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. And I'm so excited to share with people. There's a lot more details in history and actually putting together things from, there's 120 years spoken of as it was in the days of Noah. There's the 100-year barrier that's talked about as well in the scriptures, a 70-year significant number, as well as 50. So all of these things are kind of converging in this window of time. I think it's an exciting time to look up and see what's happening and realize that the kingdom of God is coming soon.
Yeah, that's right. It's a timely resource for many reasons. And we'd like to send a copy to you right away. Again, it's called A Window in Time. We'll send it to say thank you for your gift of any amount. It's your support that allows us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So we hope you'll help make them possible with your donation today. And be sure to ask for the booklet, A Window in Time. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in James. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.